The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony Rose.
What up, go?
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen and Jacoby, what is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
It's Thursday, so we're going to give you that pod exclusive, that old school pop the trunk like we used to podcast, no repurposed TV content, strictly podcast. And Jalen, who's joining us later on in this podcast exclusive show?
A legend, Todd Shaw, represents East Oakland to the fullest since day one when he was born to Mac. Too Short is going to be here.
So excited for that. He's going to talk about the Versus battle with E40. He's going to talk to us about the project he has with E40, Too Short, Ice Cube, and Snoop Dogg. Yes, you heard that right, and much more. But Jalen, I'm glad we have the podcast exclusive today because there was an article, a column written by our colleague Tim McMahon about the culture around the Rockets when James Harden was there. And there was a lot of details, and I need you to take us behind the curtain on these details. Basically, they said that the culture was whatever James Harden wants. James Harden wants Dwight Howard, get Dwight Howard. James Harden doesn't want Dwight Howard, get rid of Dwight Howard. James Harden wants Chris Paul, get Chris Paul. James Harden doesn't want Chris Paul, get rid of Chris Paul. So on and so forth. James Harden doesn't want McHale, get rid of McHale. James Harden doesn't want to practice, doesn't practice. James Harden wants to stay an extra day in a certain city, he sets the schedule. James Harden shows up late for meetings, no big deal. They wait for him. Jalen, is someone who's played in the NBA, I have not. Is that normal superstar behavior, or is this a little abuse of power?
A little bit of both. But here's what we can't do as multimedia. Allow Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni to not be accountable for some of this as well.
Great point. Great point. It's a two-way street.
Because that's where the execution lies. We can talk about them bringing in Dwight, bringing in CP, and trading picks for Russ. But you know whose actual call that was? Daryl Morey. Mm-hmm. And the other person, Mike D'Antoni, did they choose to let him walk or did they renew his contract?
Oh, yeah, he walked. Yeah. When we knew it was going to happen for a full year.
Now, for those on the inside of the game, we know the only way Daryl Morey was going to keep his job is if they won the East. I mean, the only way Daryl Morey was going to keep his job is if they won the West. Once he made those international comments that rubbed people the wrong way and started affecting the bottom line for so many people, unfortunately, people didn't want to hear if they felt he was right or wrong or if they agreed or disagreed. It was more of the Rockets are the most famous team in that region based on some of the players that have played on their team in the past. And so when you interfere by their recollection with the bottom line, I felt like he would have to do some substantial with this team to keep his job anyway. For them to get eliminated the way they did and one of the players gets sent home from the bubble by not being disciplined. And then the team flamed out by shooting the three like they have each time they lost. Like, that's been a shotgun style, an isolation, shoot a lot of three style that other than the Warriors, because they have the Splash Brothers, teams really haven't proven that you can win it all playing that way. And so, yes, James is a magnificent player. He's one of the best in the league. But how he gets his numbers is an acquired taste. Isolation heavy, no pick and roll. He's not going to move or cut without the ball. And so if you're going to build, it has to be built around him. And when he goes to the next spot, it's clearly not going to be like that. But if it was, which it was while he was in Houston, it was because of the player he became, and that's called being the face of the franchise.
Well, I think you made an important point, because how much of this is on the Houston Rockets and how much of this is on James Harden? Now, you played in the NBA, right? But I think anyone, whether you have kids or whether you're a manager at work or whether you just have friends and colleagues, people will do to you what you let them do to you. And there's a certain responsibility that comes on the coaches and the infrastructure. Whereas it's one thing to consult your star player about whether or not you should bring in Chris Paul. I think that's kind of normal. It's something else if he's showing up late to meetings. Now, all of a sudden, the other players are like, wait, why are we doing this for James? If he's missing practices after the All-Star break because he needs a little time to cool his heels. Oh, we're doing this just for James. That sets a tone of inequality that can really affect the people around you. And I also think that if they were a little more strict and set some more boundaries, then he wouldn't be able to behave the way he did. However, at the same time, that team wasn't like, we're trying to create a culture, we're trying to create an offense where everybody gets involved and everybody touches the ball. That was, if we're going to win a championship, it's going to be on the back of James Harden. Like, that wasn't a team. That was a, if we win, we're going to win because James Harden brought us to the mountaintop on his back.
But what he can't do, Jacoby, is like Linus in his blanket, like me and my bat. What he can't do, however, is when they now remove that familiar comfort zone in Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni, even if you do decide to ask for a trade, they already moved Russ. What you can't do as a professional is start kicking and screaming. So you got to show up on time. You got to talk to the media. That's just your job, just your obligation, not asking you to do nothing special. Show up in your best shape. That's just your job. It's not asking you to do anything special. And perform. Then if you do that, you make it easier for us to move you. When you're training for all of the wrong reasons and people questioning your weight and you're not at camp, you make it harder for another GM to go to their owner and say, let's pull the trigger and trade these four or five guys and these four or five picks for that guy. Oh, and by the way, who their kids are looking at Instagram and they are watching Lil Baby's birthday live and they're like, ain't that an NBA player standing next to Lil Baby?
So let's talk about the weight thing, because now we've got a little time. We can stretch on the podcast, right? Luka showed up a little heavy. I'm looking a little heavy. You know what I mean? Gyms are closed. Like, it's a pandemic. It's an off season. You played in the NBA. Like, how normal is it for players to say, my off season is my off season? Training camp, and that's when I'm going to start eating right and working out, and I'm going to enjoy myself a little extra in the off season.
Well, nothing's normal. And everybody, when you get confused, remember this. I don't care who's in office or what you're being told. It's not normal until we're not wearing masks. Well, as long as I need to leave out of the house and I'm wearing a mask, it ain't normal. And so this offseason isn't either. It's been the shortest one in the history of the league. Mm-hmm. They just left the bubble. And in less than 90 days, he's going to be playing basketball again. And so you do deserve a couple of down days to allow your body to recover. I mean, you're playing those kind of minutes. You playing the style that he plays, an isolation style, a physical style. Your body's going to take a physical pounding. He probably takes one as much, if not more, than any player in the league besides LeBron James. And so he's going to need time for his body to heal. But the second part of training is your body can heal and you can elongate the muscles. And these are things that you learn as players get more aware of how they can be, how they can do fitness for their body. You still can't show up out of shape, but then the optics make it worse. It's a domino effect. Luka wasn't out. He wasn't missing practice and workouts. And then it wasn't perceived to be partying. And so when Luka shows up out of shape, Jacoby, he's just playing basketball and we're like, all right, he about to get in shape and he about to try to have an MVP type year. he ain't trying to get traded. But when you James and you're trying to get moved, you got to try to do all of the right things. And he handled that wrong from the beginning.
And I will also say this is training camp started on the wrong side of Thanksgiving. That's all this is. Training camp started on the wrong side of Thanksgiving. You can't have training camp start a week after Thanksgiving. That's not, you know, and then expect people to be in tip-top shape. Like, come on now.
True story.
Absolutely. And now let's discuss Giannis a little bit. You know, we obviously know he signed, and we know the implications of that.
Yep.
And he recently said something that made me understand. I, as you know, think that he should not have signed when he didn't have to. He didn't have to until next year. The same deal's waiting for him. But he recently said that it was really giving him headaches. All the pressure, all the questions, all the people talking about him. Like, all of that was really bothering him. And when he said that, I was like, ooh, like, everyone's built differently. And maybe he doesn't want the noise around him. He just wants to focus on ball. And maybe that security and that calm and that let me do my thing in Milwaukee outside the spotlight is what he needed. And he knew that by signing the contract that he could sort of eliminate that from this offseason. How much do you think that factored into his decision?
You and I feel a little different about this same deal would have been there next year. And let me tell you what I mean. I know to you, it's like you only have 1 year left. So then therefore you could play out this year. You could kind of hold the organization and your teammates around you accountable. And then next year you can sign that same deal for those same years. But let me tell you what happens under your scenario. Under your scenario, you missed the right now chance to A, continue to nurture and build within, but also recruit other players from around the league. You can't necessarily be reaching out to Victor Oladipo or other players when you're not locked in. So you lose a year of recruiting other players. And also when you locked in, unlike James Harden, Giannis ain't out partying. He ain't showing up to the meeting late. So guess what happens when he walks into the front office? They're listening. And now they can get on the phone and really try to make a deal to please him because they know that he's going to be there. And then lastly, you get a chance to invest everything into the guys in the locker room right now because they're not walking on eggshells trying to impress you all of the time because they're scared you might leave. Mm-hmm. This becomes almost a lame duck year. So that's why it ain't the same deal because he's a different person. They're a different franchise. They're a different team a year from now.
What do you think about the fact that he said his five-year plan is just to have kids and win championship?
I love that. I love that. I love that. I have that same plan.
So I have one note, though. As someone with a lot of kids, little kids, the first one might hurt the second one. You know what I mean? The first one might hurt the second one. I haven't slept 8 straight hours in 7 years. You know what I mean? Like the first one might hurt the second one. But he's got the finances that I'm sure that he can find some childcare that doesn't impede upon his professional performance.
And also, if you're looking for some, wonder how he would behave in situations like that, just look at a couple of his old Valentine's Day posts.
Oh, we've seen it. We've seen him, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Well, so I'm looking at this when he signs. I'm like, all right, well, let's he wants to win a championship. So let me look at the Bucks depth chart. You know, I was like, well, let's just really look at this. And then I remembered, oh, wait, they didn't get Bogdanovich, which means Dante DiVincenzo is still there. They picked up Bobby Portis. I love Holiday, but right now, you might be getting a Holiday, DiVincenzo, Middleton, Antetokounmpo, Lopez starting lineup with Augustine, Forbes, Connaughton, Portis, Craig coming off the bench. I don't know if I'm not including your guy, DJ Wilson. And that made me think, is Dante DiVincenzo going to start in the finals? Like,
you ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
Goran Dragic averaged 20 points in the Eastern Conference Finals. And Tyler Hero started in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, but they're better basketball players than Dante DiVincenzo.
My point is that the East is wide open.
Yeah.
It has been the last few seasons. That's why Kawhi can scoop in against an injury-riddled Golden State Warriors team. And before you know it, they win a couple of series. The Raptors win it all. And then the next year, Jimmy Butler goes to Miami. They win the East. And you know why that happened? Let me tell you really why that happened. Danny Ainge overplayed his hand, like I've been telling you for 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
Should have cashed in some of those chips and went after Kawhi, went after AD.
That's my color up there. You need to color up, Danny Ainge. Got to color up.
And then the other thing, you ready for this one? Still processing. That's why they fired their coach. See, one of those organizations, if you look 3 or 4 years in the rearview mirror, were in pole position to be next out of the East. They were ahead of Miami when Wade was getting older. They were ahead of the Bucks before Giannis ascended to be an MVP. And they had the best record back-to-back.
Ahead of the Raptors.
Once LeBron left, that was supposed to be the Celtics or the Sixers. And that's why I say it's wide open. And so I agree with you. You're not this season winning a championship, in my opinion, with DiVincenzo as your starting backcourt player. But what I will say is what the Bucks have, you hope that they can cash in on, is what the Sixers don't. They're going to play hard all of the time, and they got familiarity with one another. See, yeah, they brought in Seth Curry. He's a shooter. They hope to get more out of Tobias Harris. He was a scorer with the Lakers. He was a scorer under Doc with the Clippers. Ben's still not shooting outside of the paint. And Embiid's still going to miss games due to injury. So if you're the Bucks, you're not as far off as people are saying that you are.
No.
So to me, if they just stay the course, Jacoby, they should be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
They should have been in the Eastern Conference Finals the last couple of years. I mean, they had number one seed. You're supposed to be in the Eastern Conference Finals, but you have the number one seed.
Yes, sir.
And I watched both those teams play, the Sixers and the Celtics, and a couple of things stood out to me. Number one, Tyrese Maxey, friend of the show. He's bouncy. Like he only got like 8 minutes or something, 12 minutes in the fourth quarter.
But
man, he had three straight possessions where he scored. Three straight possessions. It was like two floaters and a left hand. He drove to his left. He looked really bouncy and energetic and good. I don't think he's going to really change the fate of the Sixers, but I like that. Another thing that stood out to me about the Celtics, which is something we've been talking about the Celtics for a long time, they're small. Now, listen, yeah. Tice wasn't playing, and Tristan Thompson wasn't playing, and they've got, you know, Time Lord. Time Lord is big, but they're still small. Like, they still have front court issues that I didn't feel were fully addressed. I understand Tristan Thompson – I'm higher on Tristan Thompson than a lot of people are. I don't think a lot of people are watching Cavs games, and people associate him with the Kardashian Jenners more than NBA basketball. But I think that with the people around him, he can really perform and I hope eventually become the starting center over Tice. But they're still small. Still small team. Still small team.
Well, here's what makes you small. First, you go to your best players. And even though Jason Tatum allegedly grew 2 inches over the summer, is an all-NBA performer, and Jaylen Brown's an all-NBA defender. But the way their bodies are built, one of them has to guard a power forward. There's just no way around it. Now, the good thing about the East, not many dominant players that play the four. Got that secret for you. Not many dominant players to play the four. You got Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
Just throw Philly in there because you can put Embiid and or Simmons. They just got the big bodies to do it. You got Bam Adebayo, 4 or 5. Sabonis, Indiana.
I like Sabonis there.
4 or 5, right?
Siakam, putting him in there. Siakam.
Pascal, Siakam. Not now, correct. And so now body types started to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bam and Siakam. Bam and Siakam don't play the same game.
Correct. Yeah. Now you notice those body types started to change. And so when that happens, that's the difference between Bam being able to punish the Celtics front line, versus you hope that he's going to have resistance against a bigger front line when you add Tristan. But here's the problem with Tristan. Not a scorer.
Not
a post-up player.
No,
so he's
no.
He's going to distort the spacing. He's going to be on the baseline.
And I can't think of a time he's ever posted up in his career. Yeah. In his whole career. Like I've never seen him just put his hand up with his back to the basket, like demand the ball from the wing. I've never seen that.
He's going to set some good screens. They're going to drop him off some good lobs. And
yeah, putbacks.
When the playoffs come, switch it. Oh, pick on Bam and Jimmy, switch it. Oh, pick on Jrue Holiday and Greek Freak, switch it. By the time he get down in the post to try to make something happen, the play's distorted. So you're right about the Celtics and their lack of size. But this should be the year for the Bucks, Jacoby, to win the East.
It should be. I mean, it's been the year for the Bucks to win the East the last couple. And you know, and also one thing that the front office can do is look at this. And you notice he said my five-year plan is to win a championship. He didn't say three championships. And the Bucks front office is not in the win this year. We have to win this year. We have to prove this to Giannis this year. They can say, all right.
Correct.
You know, maybe we make the finals this year and see where we need to tweak and this and that. And I think one thing that people don't talk about the Bucks, which you're going to get from Jalen and Jacoby, is they play a very odd defense. Like, they play a gimmicky defensive style. They put Lopez and Giannis at the rim and say, you're not driving to the rim. Restricted area, that's a no-go. If you look at, like, the numbers of opponents' restricted area scoring, it's like they're number one by a million miles, right? But another thing they do is they kind of let you shoot threes. They pack it in. And a lot of teams shoot 35% from three. And sometimes on a certain night, you shoot 27% from three. We've all seen those games. And they win a lot of games that way. But my question to you is that really what the core of their postseason shortcomings have been? Is that their style is one that you can't figure out when you're on the road and you're playing a different team two nights ago and another team in two nights. But if you're playing one team, this team with this gimmicky defense, night after night after night, is that really what hurts them? Their philosophy, not their roster.
I believe they play the percentages. And if you look at the analytics during the regular season, that style, as you noted, works. During the postseason, you could take advantage of it a little more. You could scheme against it a little bit. You saw a lot of flare action with Duncan Robinson, you know, screen to screener action just to get that big guy move. So instead of getting a normal regular season pick and roll three or a three off post-up action, you got time to really work your plays. But when you look around the landscape of the East, Jacoby, you got to always pay attention to the competition. And if you look at who won the East last couple of seasons.
Pistons, right?
No. I wish. If you look at the teams that won the East the last couple of seasons, Kawhi clearly is not with the Raptors anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the Heat did a terrific job by adding Avery Bradley. But when you look at the rest of the conference, it's like we should be at least as good as we were, if not better, as long as Giannis continues to improve. And Jrue Holiday is definitely an upgrade over Bledsoe at the point, defensively.
Oh, yeah.
Playmaking. And so you got better there.
Definitely.
So here's the difference. This year, let me tell you the difference. The Bucks have had two All-Stars perennially. No disrespect to Middleton, but if he didn't play with Giannis and they weren't the number one seed and he wasn't in the East, he wouldn't be an All-Star, right? But this year, they're going to have three All-Stars. That's the difference.
Does Jrue Holiday make the All-Star team in the Eastern Conference?
His 18-6 is going to get him into the All-Star game.
Yeah, and well, what else helps is that number one seed. I'm assuming that they will be the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, and that really can help propel you to an All-Star appearance, as you just mentioned with Chris Middleton. I can see
the difference.
But if he's getting 18-6, getting 18-6, is Chris Middleton still putting up 20? I don't know.
Yes, he will. Well, because they get up and down in the regular season, and you know they spread out those minutes. Giannis didn't play 40 minutes all year, so they stagger those minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So those guys will be out there together. They'll be out there separate.
I just hope that they can figure out a way where Giannis gets some easier buckets. Because Giannis is an amazing player, but when you watch the game sometimes, he's got it 25 feet from the basket and needs to kind of figure it out, you know, get by his man, use those long steps to get in and then dunk on the help defender. And he's good at it. But I just hope they figure out a way with Holiday being there, Middleton still being there, you know, Augustine and DiVincenzo to get him easier buckets.
I'm going to give you some game that Giannis can improve at. And it'll also prevent injury that I want you to watch for.
Okay.
When Giannis has a full head of steam and he's going downhill towards the basket, in particular going left, he picks up the ball too early. So to most of the world, it's like, oh, Giannis is able to go from the top of the key on one dribble.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Isn't that amazing? Some
of the time, the second dribble is just either a quick one for either the first dribble is for power or the final dribble is for power. Right? Mm-hmm. Anybody's played basketball, you know exactly what I mean. Somebody, you're going downhill. Either the first dribble is for power or the final dribble is for power. When you only take one dribble, you exposing your feet, your ankles, your knees, your leg to step on somebody's foot. Or you can't, like, yeah, you can do a step through one, two step, but also you'll get a lot of charges. I think if on that move, if he added a dribble and instead of trying to go off 1 foot, sometimes do that same move and go off 2 feet. Now, just think of that same player that has many points in the paint as Shaq on average. That same player, instead of going from the top of the key free throw line of one dribble, imagine if he took that same aggressiveness toward the basket, Jacoby. You notice. Mm-hmm. And then he just stopped on 2 feet. What everybody going to do?
Back up.
You getting out the way, dog. Because he's banging on everybody. Yeah, you ain't never stopping that.
Yeah. And he's very, very reliant on people call the Euro step, which I call the side step. He's very reliant on that. He's very reliant on that move. That's his go-to, whether he's going to his right or his left. It just seems like every single time he's around the basket, that's what he's going to do. Correct. Very reliant on that.
Correct.
So, Jalen, I want to talk to you about something. Don't forget, we have Too Short coming later. I want to say one thing is, you won't get the he should take two dribbles instead of one dribble on the television show. Because that's not part of the rundown. You know what I mean? Like, that's the sort of improvisational game that you can get on these exclusive podcasts, which is why we're doing it this way. You know, I think that's very important to recognize. You know, me and Jalen had a meeting and we were like, you know what? We need to get back to what we used to do. Just hang out, have these same conversations that we would have over an adult beverage or over lunch to the people on our podcast feed. We appreciate our podcast listeners so much. We also have Too Short coming later, but I want to bring this to your attention. We also got some voicemails. I just want to celebrate K and J really quickly before we move on. Big shout to K and J. Love them so much.
And K and J, just so y'all know, I left the house this morning to go to UPS to send y'all hoodies. It's a snowstorm on the east. It was one of the businesses that was closed. Y'all next week.
Okay, we got you, KJ. Don't worry. Your holiday gifts are coming. So, Jalen, Christopher Walken said he's never had a cell phone or a computer in his whole entire life. Are you surprised? Are you envious? How do you feel about that?
First, I wish we could use the LL. That's a lie.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my assistant has a computer or something. Yeah, like there's one in his house.
He's been in too many movies. Yeah. No, he's been in too many movies, read too many scripts.
Too many pitches.
Too many negotiations.
Yeah, too many millions at stake.
Come on, man.
That's a good point.
We know he sent the email.
That's a good point.
We know he sent the text. We know he's been on the phone. All of that, or you put your phone on speaker and it was your assistant, or you was in an office and somebody transferred you, or dog. Come on, man. He must have a project coming out.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jay. Good point, Jay. So, can you name how many Christopher Walken movies can you name? Because I know you generally watch films that have people look like you, not people that look like me.
Well, King of New York.
I can't name too many. King of New York. That's a big one. King
there
of New
you
York.
Go right there.
That's a long movie.
With Lawrence Fishburne, Larry Fishburne at that time. They called him Larry Fishburne at that time, right?
Yep. Big shout out to him.
Christopher Walken in all of the gangster movies, dog.
All right. I got a couple questions here that I need to hit you up with before we go to voicemails. Number one is the following. The Lions are interviewing Louis Riddick as a GM. How do you feel about that?
Huge Lions fan. Love Louis Riddick. I'm not sure if the Lions have ever had a minority person in position of power, in particular GM, president, or ownership. So that would be something for the city of Detroit. But also, he's paying his dues as a media member, and also has been in a couple of front offices, in particular worked under Philly when Andy Reid was the coach. And so I've seen a lot of people come and go, Jacoby. I promise you. Lifetime Lions fan. Seeing a lot of people come and go. And so I would love to see him get the opportunity.
Me too. I have faith in him. I have faith in him getting the thing done. Now, Jalen.
And also, I want somebody to be the GM that I could text.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know
you know what I would have did? Let me you know. Like,
just drafted to him.
You know what? There's certain relationships you have with every organization. And I got multiple relationships with the Lions. But I don't have their GM on text. Because you know what I would have texted them? Don't take Okuda.
Yeah, draft to it.
Anybody that's listening to this show, this ain't cap. This ain't me being hindsight. This ain't none of that. Soon as the Lions got that pick, before the draft, months before the draft, I said, take a quarterback, in particular Tua.
I know you did.
He was sitting right there, dog. Sitting right there. I like defensive backs. You know, it's my favorite position. But if you could take Jalen Ramsey or Aaron Rodgers, taking Aaron Rodgers.
Before we get to Too Short, we want to get to you. You can call 985-80-JALEN and be a part of this podcast right now. Just pick up the phone right now. 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail. We'll put it on the show just like this one.
Yo, what's up, Jalen Jacoby? Shout out, Reg. My name is Merrick Michelson from Detroit, Michigan. And I am, like Jalen, a Michigan Wolverines fan, a Detroit Lions fan, and a Detroit Pistons fan, unfortunately. And I wish I was a Die Easy fan like Jacoby, but I'm just too invested. Any tips, Jalen, on how to deal with how bad our Detroit sports teams are? Thank you.
Jalen, you have advice for this Detroit fan. You've been dealing with this.
Absolutely. A couple of things. Staying a diehard fan means it's going to be a lot sweeter when we win it all. Look what happened with the Red Sox.
When they finally
won it all, it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. Chicago, same thing. When they finally got it done, how was it? The Cubs, they finally got it done. That's how it's going to be when the Lions get it done. So here's what you got to do. You got to manage your emotions. Know your team. We're not going to go out this offseason and sign Eric Bieniemy. It's not going to happen. I don't care who's the GM. I don't care whatever, because our ownership just don't spend money like that.
It is time for Too Short to join the show. All right, so now that we're on the podcast exclusive, we're off the television show, we can talk about some things that we really want to talk about. All right, so I want to hear about those Warriors that you see in the club. What club are you going to? Which Warriors were they? What was the experience like? Was there some medicinal in the air?
The old Warriors. I'm not going to say anything about the old Warriors. You know what I mean? The ones I mentioned, the Steven Jackson team, that team. Them boys was, you know, Baron Jackson. Them boys was, they wasn't just coming with the team. They had some homies with them. It was like, I don't even want to say nothing about weed smoking, nothing. I'm just saying, that was them boys, man. Like we street dudes and stuff. We coming in the club. You're not going to push up on them Warriors in any kind of way. They just stood in the corner and got respect. So The five times in a row in the championship Warriors, those guys are like, they're like, you know, like four corners, the L and the second, you know?
They going to bed at 10:30, Jacoby.
Yeah, man. And you can't blame them. It makes sense why they went to five chips. They're not those dudes that get out there and do that stuff. So I heard stories about Klay Thompson. Haven't witnessed it, but they say all the rest of the players, they say the rest of the players meet the wives and go home, and Klay meet three chicks in the hallway.
Good for him. Good for him.
That's the word on the street.
So, sure, I'm really happy that the Bay is going to be celebrated in your versus against E40. Are you guys planning any tributes to Tupac? Because I know you guys got some songs together.
Let me tell you what's going to happen. Tupac is going to get it. He's going to get a moment of love. But let me tell you what's going to happen, because this is E40 and Too Short. And we talked about this. We've had meetings, like Zoom meetings, about how to present this. And I was like, no, you know, no options, no negotiating. We cannot plan the show. We can't rehearse it. We can't talk about what's going to happen in between. Because I'm like, if I'm showing a script with Earl Stevens, knowing he don't play scripts. So I'm like, that I'm being short dog, you be Earl, whatever happens, happens. Let's go. Go. I trust that it's friendly competition. It's like, you know, it's like two a defensive and an offensive lineman who got to line up against each other but used to be college roommates. I'm going to kick you. I'll fight you all day, but I love you.
Right.
That's what it is, man.
I love it.
You know, I'm like, don't try to prep me, because if you prep me, it's going to put me in a bad space knowing, thinking. I'm like, hit me with your best shot, Earl. Let's just go. So we planned out a lot of things, but I know this from day one. I know.
Yes.
I know he got a special outfit.
Yes.
He got like seven new phrases and three new words.
Yes. He gonna bring a dictionary.
I went into the studio just yesterday and I started making little special mixes and doing things, like just little things, so I could jab back in my Too Short way. And I know what Earl's gonna do, man. He's gonna dance that slick talk, but I'm about to I'm gonna stay historical on him. I'm gonna stay historical. Ooh. What I say. Stats. You know. Earl's a homebody. You know, he networks big, but he stays in his bubble. You know, out in the world, he got his crew. He got a big family. They say. When I get out there, I'm like, man, I don't want no bodyguard. I'm on the east side of Detroit on some grind.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, and they like, is. You in Detroit at 4 in the morning? You know what happens out here? I'm like, man, I'm with my folks. We good, man. So, you know, that's our different styles. I'm going to hit him with the out there, Atlanta, New York. I'm in the streets, you know, just a little bit, man. He going to hit me with the wine and the... Like, he likes to say, you know, I'm in the adult beverage business. he throw some haymakers at me. Watch, let me tell you the funny part, though. Watch the funny part. Because Gucci and Jeezy were telling a lot of undercut stuff about each other that you got to be in Atlanta or in the know to know how many jabs about each other.
And yes.
40, we're going to do some slick talking, man. You got to know some things we're going to say. Because I'm really fast. Mine goes by real fast. And I'm like, I know a lot of information about a lot of things. So, you know, it's going to be fun, man. We actually, what we going to do, man, we actually do this damn near every day. We talk on the phone every other day. And we just, it's just jazz, bro. So, you're going to get E40 and Short Dog.
It's going to be so dope.
With the gloves off. How about that?
Oh, I can't wait for that. Not only are you giving us this versus battle, you also have a new album, Ain't Gonna Do It. What can you tell us about this project?
Well, in light of the versus and celebrating of the Bay, I put together a 10-song project literally doing that, celebrating the Bay. And everybody on there is from the Bay, really closely affiliated to the Bay. And I don't know what 40's album. I haven't heard his album. I don't even think he's heard mine. I'm on two songs on his, he's on two songs on mine. So I'm sure those are the only two songs he heard, and those are the only two songs I heard. When Friday comes, I'm going to be listening to E40's album for the first time. Well, okay, jamming just like y'all. So my project, I have an album coming. It's called Surf Too Short. I'm going all the way back. I'm going so far back grimy because I feel like I've been pushing forward all these years. And I just got to a point, I was like, forward. I was driving on the highway and I was listening to some old Too Short. I was like, I want to be that again.
Yes, so, that guy's dope.
I went in the studio in my 50s and I've channeled old school Short Dog, man. I got a dope project coming. Yes. So in the meantime, I'm going to do a little build up. It's probably going to drop like February, March. So in the meantime, I'm dropping this project, Ain't Gonna Do It, highlighting some Bay Area homies, and you know, reintroducing that Too Short funk. And then I'm gonna drop another one in January with me and some Bay Area homies. My little homie, Boss Like Big Spence, he's a producer, rapper, young cat. He talked that fly stuff, and I'm like kind of passing on the baton, you know what I'm saying? And
yes, indeed.
And then the big joint is the LLC, man. You know, we ain't really letting the name out yet, but the LLC is the business venture that me, E40, Snoop Dogg, and Ice Cube just started. It was born in the quarantine. I got the call from, you know, Ice Cube and E40 on the call together saying, hey, we got an idea. They ran the idea down to me, and I was like, I'm in. They're like, we about to hit Snoop right now. Snoop's in, so we started quarantine recording. So somebody come up with a beat, whatever. We put the beat in the group text. Y'all feeling that one? Everybody feeling it? All right, put it up in the studio. And then we start emailing verses. I ain't gonna lie, next thing you know, it's like 25 songs and they sound great. So we gonna make a profit out of that. But it's not really, people got wind of it and said, oh, they formed a super group. Nah, this is nothing like a super group. This is strictly a business. We do a lot of shows together, and when we do shows together, we get the biggest crowds, the people get the best show, and Cube, the Brainiac, E40, the Hustler, they was like, that's the money, man. If we should package our own thing. Like, why are we waiting for promoters to call us and book us? Yep. That's because the business. So not only are we the business of shows, the business of music, we're the business of merchandise, we're licensing stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, we didn't do a deal with a label. We did a deal with an investor.
Dope.
And the main thing about what we're doing is, and Snoop just came at us with this about a week or two ago, he said, let's, at the same time we do this, let's teach younger artists how to do what we're doing.
Yes.
Which is to do it big without the dependency of the major label corporation. Just, you know, just show you how to get on that level with the corporation, but not dependent on the corporation.
So if you ever need some inspiration for old Too Short, you can always watch Jalen and Jacoby, because I have you over my right shoulder in the drop top Baritz.
Yes, sir.
On the Mac album cover is a classic. And so I can't front. And this is classic Too Short. Anybody that heard you say 10, because you said your album is 10 with 10 Bay Area artists. I can't front. I thought about 10 people doing something with 10 toes. That's the first thing that came to mind as an old school Too Short. Well,
album number 10. It's my last album, y'all. That was 1996.
Ooh. So how has the app... So by the way, you're also an inspiration for something we do on the show. Pop the Trunk. That's because you were one of those artists that didn't have the necessary major label support, and you were selling your tapes out of the trunk. So talk to people about you doing that and how the game has changed since then.
I mean, literally, we're in the Bay. We're about a 6-hour drive from L.A. L.A. has all these labels up and down Sunset Boulevard. I'm talking like the 80s. And you got New York. And New York's got all these labels. And you see these New York artists on Profile Records, Tommy Boy Records, and you see them coming out, Sugar Hill Records. They're like, man, I got the dream, but I can't catch the train and jump off and pedal my demo in front of a label and catch a Russell Simmons jumping out of a cab or something. That's not an option for me. I can't go down to Sunset Boulevard like Ice-T and end up in a movie rapping, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, and breaking. I don't have that opportunity. So I look to the older cats. These dudes were, they played with Tower of Power, Lenny Williams. They, you know, E-40 came up under his uncle and them that was affiliated with Confunction from Vallejo, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And we grabbed the game from them. It was a guy in Oakland had a label called Hold This Records, Mickey Mo, he was an OG gangster. It was my man Dean Hodges that hooked me up, 75 Girls Records. And these were like, just, you see that record and you go, man, I could do this. I could do it in my town. So I learned the game. E-40, we did not learn the game from the same place. He got it from his uncle. I got it from Dean and 75 Girls. And the whole mm-hmm. hustle is you go to the studio, you make the music, you get your music mixed down, you take your music to the manufacturer. Back then you get some records pressed up, wax, and you get some cassettes pressed up. And then you take those boxes, throw them in the back of your truck, car, whatever you got, and you drive from record store to record store and say, would you like to buy some of these? And they go, yeah, man, I'm up on that Too Short, give me a box. Or they go, I don't know. I'm like, well, if you don't know, I'm gonna leave this box here. I'll be back in a few days. Come back, the dude's like, man, give me four more of those. He goes, you know? And that's just how we do it, man. And then you, we have these one stops, which are distributors. And like our, my favorite one was City Hall Records out in San Rafael, California. My man Walt Z helped a lot of Bay Area rappers get on. There was another one called The Music People. I didn't really mess with them too tough, but they were right in Oakland, so it was a big deal that you could go to a one stop. They have one stops in Detroit. They're everywhere. Yep. You go to a one stop, and if you make a direct relationship with the guy, the sales guy, you like, I'm giving you 20 boxes. And he's sending your boxes out to record stores that you wouldn't even get to. And it's just a network of you hustling yourself. You can stop me at the burger stand and like, man, let me get one of them Born and Max. I'm gonna pop open the box, steal you money for $5 in my pocket. For real. So that's how serious it was.
Man, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. We're so excited about all those projects that you mentioned and the Versus Battle this Saturday. As you know, you are welcome to come back on Jalen and Jacoby at any time, whenever you want.
Man, L.A. misses y'all, man.